Hello there. I am the Projectionist, and welcome to my sinister Tales of Terror. Welcome back, dear listeners. I am so very happy you have returned, coming down here to join me for another sinister tale of terror. From my tomb of tales, a bastion of fright against the real horrors of the world, not to mention the approaching storm outside the vault. Now, just let me douse the lights. No, do not fret. These types of tales are better told by the light of a candle. Do you not agree? Oh, I almost forgot. We wouldn't want you stumbling off in the darkness of the vault and hurt yourself, now would we? Why, it could be days before help arrived. Now then, what story should I choose to entertain you with this week? Ah, there is just the one. I call it The Lamb. Jacob Root was what one would describe as being an honest man, hardworking and pious. He chalked those ethics up to the success of his family farm, just on the outskirts of the little village called Cherry Hill. Jacob considered himself blessed by the bounty his hard work returned, not just in the modest monetary gains from selling his wares to the grateful villagers, but ensuring that he and his lovely wife, Catherine, never had to face the threat of starvation when the winter came. Then the farmer learned what it was to truly be blessed when Catherine gave birth to a beautiful and healthy baby girl that they named Erin. And then, just the next year, came another healthy child, a little boy with an infectious grin, even as a wee babe, that they named Ebadiah. As soon as the children were of age, they took up the task as their father and mother and cared for the family farm, working in the early morning until the sun began to set. The only day that the Root family did not toil in their fields and barn was on Sunday. Come rain or shine, they made the trek to Cherry Hill by wagon to be counted in attendance for Reverend Scrim's Sunday services. The Root family also made sure they paid their tithe to the church. Jacob Root was firm but fair to his children, and they had no reason to doubt their father or mother's love for them, even when they would receive punishment for slacking off of their chores or misbehavior. Jacob found no joy, of course, in dispensing discipline, but had he not watched his own brother become a wastrel, his life ended by a thrust of a knife between the ribs at that wretched bar in Haddonfield 4 years past. Yes, Jacob was indeed a man content with his station in life. He would even cautiously admit to his wife in the lateness of the evening that he was happy, certainly happier than his own father had ever been. Which is why, when a traveling salesman who paid a visit to the root farm late in the summer, even though Catherine warned Jacob she didn't care for this stranger, who called himself Mr. Breathnock, her husband ended up purchasing a little black lamb from the wagon that Aaron and Obadiah immediately fell in love with. Why, Mr. Breathnock even cackled as he watched the two children dancing around in circles in the yard, their happiness obvious by their own infectious laughter, as the little black lamb chased after first one, then the other. Jacob, however, balked when the traveling merchant named his price for the lamb. The farmer pointing out that it didn't seem quite that fair of a sum to be asked for. The humor that Mr. Breathnock had displayed moments before vanished quite as quickly as the haggling for the black lamb became intense, as if his very life depended on it. It was Catherine who helped smooth the small flare in temperaments between the two men when she offered up a prized hen against the purchase price. And with that, it was all smiles again with Mr. Breathnock. And after spitting in their palms, the two men shook on the lower purchase price. The deal was done. All the remaining summer, the weather had been good for the crops. It had been perhaps an easier year than most, thought Jacob, as he and Catherine enjoyed sitting on their porch in the two rocking chairs after church one evening, watching Obadiah and Aaron play with the little black lamb, who the children named Nip, after it playfully bit the young boy's finger when he first fed it. The farmer couldn't suppress the merry laughter that matched his children's. A couple of weeks passed by, and one morning, Aaron and Obadiah rushed into the house, out of breath and obviously alarmed. Jacob listened as they explained that while they were tending to the livestock in the barn, they noticed that the little black lamb had begun to grow horns. Jacob informed the two children that it appeared Mr. Breathnock had actually sold them a goat instead of a lamb. Aaron shook her little head in exasperation, adding that just an hour or so later after feeding the hogs, they returned to the barn to find the horns had grown larger. Catherine warned the children of telling such fibs, but both children swore it to be the gospel truth and bade their parents to come to the barn and see, which they did. And it was a shocking sight waiting for them, as the little black lamb's strange horns had grown bigger, heavier, as the poor animal couldn't even raise its head. The horns were disturbing to look upon. An angry red streaked through them, and there were deep cuts that vaguely resembled lettering that hurt the eyes when stared at too long. It was Catherine, with a gasp, that noticed the five-pointed star that was etched into the base of each horn. Grabbing Aaron and Obadiah, she pleaded with Jacob to go and fetch Reverend Scrim at once. Before he left, Jacob made sure to guide the other livestock to the fields and fasten the bolt across the barn doors, warning the children to stay away and to be sure to keep the other livestock away as well. Deciding he could reach Cherry Hill quicker without the wagon, the man mounted his horse and held the reins of a second tightly as he made for the little village. Jacob made good time, and Reverend Scrim was quick to agree to aid the Root family. The two returned before the noonday sun had risen fully, and after the Reverend bid Catherine to take the children into their home and read from the good book, Jacob and Scrim removed the bolt from the barn doors and entered. As the large barn doors swung open, the two men were hit with a wave of horrid stench and the buzzing of the flies that now filled the barn. Jacob covered his mouth to avoid retching onto the dirt, which had become blackened. Tendril-like trails emanating from where the little black lamb lay. Its breathing labored, and the horns had somehow grown even more larger. "This is an abomination. It is the work of the devil," cried Reverend Grimm. "I know not why this has been visited upon you and your family, Jacob Root, but you must destroy it. This is no mere lamb, but a vessel for darkness. Cleanse this area with fire before its sickness spreads." Jacob merely nodded his head in understanding, but a cry of outrage was heard from behind the men as Ebediah attempted to run into the barn. His father held him back, the young boy crying that he and his sister loved Nip, begging for Reverend Scrim to do something to save the obviously suffering lamb. The elderly man laid a hand on the boy's shoulder, explaining that when something demonic took hold in even an innocent animal like Nip, even though it hurt the heart, the only choice was to destroy it. Jacob held his weeping son for a few moments before calmly telling the boy to go and fetch him his shotgun from the house. He would end the lamb's life and then burn down the barn itself. Reverend Scrim asked Catherine to lend him their family Bible, reading out loud from the scriptures as Jacob entered the barn and performed the deed. That night at the dinner table, the Root family didn't speak to each other. They barely touched the food on their plates. Certainly, a heavy pall hung over the home. After their children were fast asleep, Jacob confided to his wife that he couldn't understand why such a thing would befall their family. Catherine responded that their brush with Mr. Breathnack may have cost them a barn, and it would cost them a pretty penny to rebuild it in the coming weeks. They were still fortunate. Jacob wasn't quite satisfied with the answer, but agreed. His biggest worry was for the children. Would this cause them to harden their hearts, especially toward him? The next few days, the children barely left their rooms. They begrudgingly performed their chores, but kept to themselves. It was Catherine who told Jacob that the two admitted to her before bed every evening that they missed Nip something fierce and prayed he could be with them somehow. But they held no grudge against their father, and they understood his actions. The next morning, Jacob and Catherine were awoken to the sound of Aaron and Ebediah laughing downstairs. The sound brought a joy to Jacob's heart that made the farmer hurry downstairs to see what had lifted his children's spirits. At the bottom of the stairs, he first saw Erin dancing in circles in the middle of the living room as she pointed to her younger brother. "Look, Papa, look! Nip has come back!" Jacob cried out in alarm as his eyes adjusted to the gloom, and he made out the heavy horns that had sprung from his son's forehead. The farmer stumbled back as his son smiled sweetly. Well now, dear listeners, tell me, what did you think of the lamb? This tale was the very first story sent to us by one Walt Hefner of Cambridge, Missouri. Although I take some small amount of umbrage that he sent the tale to Victor and not myself. Remember, if you have a story of fright and horror, you may contact me on the Facebooks, Projectionist Haunted Drive-In. While I may not be online every single day, you can be assured that I will receive your electronic missives. Well, I do not believe it has been taken care of as of this broadcast. I am told by Sage and the Retroist that my program will be made available on iTunes in the near future. So listeners, I hope to see you here next week at the same time for more of my sinister tales of terror. This has been a RetroWest production. Goodbye.